This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Today we begin part two of our series entitled, The Diligent Person.
If you want to rule, you got to be diligent today. I don't care what level you're at, start being diligent today. Start reading books. There's a book out there I was intending to recommend to you in a bookstore. The book's been, as far as I know, it's discontinued years ago, but we bought them years ago, and we still have something called More Wealth Without Risk by Charles Givens. He was mine and Helen's financial advisor years ago before he passed away. And the book is written down in just simple, how many people have the book? More Wealth Without Risk. And that, is that an easy book or what? Yeah. It's real, you just look at one step and it's like, well, I could do that. Well, I could do that. And he's got like 130 steps, but there are things that the rich people tell their kids that the poor and middle class do not. Just simple things like how to do your insurance, how to, it's an old book. The book is from the mid 80s. But the book is still relevant and or apropos at this time. It's still a great book. It's a great book. More Wealth Without Risk. I think they're out of print now. You might be able to get a few. When I got those, I got them from one of these outlet, done with, leftover things. And I actually found them at the 99 cent stuff store at one time. Not those, but I actually found a stack. And also his book, Super Self, Super Mind, which we've given to almost all the leaders in the ministry. Super Self, Super Mind. Fantastic material. Ageless. Doesn't get old. Doesn't wear out. Not the first person to say it. But if you're not diligent to get that information, you won't be able to benefit from that information. My mom and dad benefited from some information they got. I tell you, my dad was reading that big, thick book by Vanita Van Caspel, like 800,000 pages. And I'm like, man, aren't you out of school? He had hit 40, and he really started getting concerned about his money when he hit 40. So he started saving money for my mom and dad. As a kid, I didn't notice it. Our style of life stayed the same. But behind the scenes, dad was being tighter with it. You know, we always had what we needed, so I just didn't notice that it was. But I noticed my aunt and them moved and built a house. My mother and them moved to the suburbs, but they didn't build it. They moved to one that was there. My aunt and them paid a lot more money. My dad and them wasn't spending all that kind of money. So they were being wiser and starting to sock it away. But they were thinking 25, 30 years down the road when they may want to retire and have financial freedom and be able to not work and still make a lot of money in retirement. He went and worked at another company and double retired and different things like that. So he's got money coming in retirement. He told me when he came down here, he said, my job is to throw away $7,000 a month. I wanted to know where they're hiring. Wherever you working at, are they hiring? Just shoot. I don't mind working for $7,000 a month, let alone somebody just giving it to you because you retired well. And he had a good job. He was educated, but he wasn't a six-figure man. He was working in the tens and things like that, you know, but saved his money. He did real good investments in the 80s with the tech stocks, did real good investments. Why? Because he read something his friends in Alabama wouldn't read. He took some risks they wouldn't take. Calculated risks, intelligent risks, but risks nonetheless. Other folks are afraid because they're ignorant, they don't know, and then they don't want to learn, so they just sit back and settle for naught. Retirement comes up, and they say, man, all I could have had, the whole world was mine. All I had to do was demand of it. But I wouldn't put any demand on the word because I wouldn't be diligent. I started a lot of things, but I quit just as many as I started. I had high hopes, but I never got in faith and did anything with them. I was really dreaming. If you're at an age now where you look back and said, I always dreamt of being, you're still breathing. Stop dreaming, get a goal, get diligent, and make it happen a few years from now. Don't give up. People 29 years old gave up. I always said I was going to be this when I was 29. You got your whole life ahead of you. People be 40, giving up. Eat right, you'll get 100. You ain't halfway through yet. You still got 20 years before you get halfway through. But they already giving up. Why? Because they're not diligent. You can start diligence anytime, any age. You can start today and say, I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to be diligent to figure out what I want in life. And then I'm going to be diligent to find how to get it. And then I'm going to be diligent to bring it to pass. And you know what? You'll have it. You'll have it. Given enough time, you will have it. But what do you want? Forget about that, to be successful. What does that mean? That varies. To be happy, what does that mean? If somebody tell me they want to be happy, I look at them like, yada, 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 blee, 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 blee. That doesn't mean, what can I do with that? If somebody was going to help you be happy, they can't do nothing with, I want to be happy. Because when I say I want to be happy, I might be talking about something totally different than what you're saying. So somebody may tell you they want to be happy. You do what makes you happy for them, and it doesn't make them happy. So literally, you're not going to get what you want with these nebulous terms of happy, successful, have the good life. What do you want?
Good morning, everyone. I want to let you know about something great happening at Joy Faith Christian Center on Sunday, September 21st. We will have our annual Big Sunday Celebration. This is a day of praise, worship, exhortation, and of course, the Word of God. We've shared our mornings together on the radio. Come and be a part of a live service. Be my guest as we roll out the red carpet for you, our partners and friends. Mark your calendar to join me Sunday, September 21st at 11 a.m. at Palm Beach Lakes High School in West Palm Beach, where together we will make a positive change.
So somebody may tell you they want to be happy. You do what makes you happy for them, and it doesn't make them happy. So literally, you're not going to get what you want with these nebulous terms of happy, successful, have the good life. What do you want? I want a two-story split level with a white picket fence on a neighborhood that's actually income. Oh, folk like that get what they want because they know what they want. Yes, right. And then they focus for what they want. Yes. What do you want? Yes. I could take a survey, and a lot of you are going to say happy, successful. Things like that. If I grill you enough, you run out. Okay, I don't know, Pastor Cook. I don't know what I would. Just leave me alone. I don't know, okay? I don't know. Because I know you got the heart to win, but if you don't know what you want, you never focus your energy. So although you can have a great heart to win, and I can excite you and motivate you and encourage you, and you can read the word and you can believe you can do all things through Christ, yet we still do nothing with any focus because we still don't know what we want to do. What do you want to do? Be diligent to find out what you want to do. I just want to live. Well, you're already there, so you're there. You made it. I just want to live. Well, you're there, so you've arrived. You know you want more than that. You just don't want to think about it. Remember the first one, abundant thinking, careful planning. The diligent are abundant thinkers. They're careful planners. There's moments when I've been there where I just know I'm in power. I have control of me. You ever been there where you just know you can do it all? You just name it, I can do it. I basically live like that, but there's times when I'm just really there. Some folk ain't never been there, but I've studied enough and been diligent enough to know I can do whatever I want to do. And I'm uninhibited. The man gonna throw some bumps, some knocks in the road. Doesn't matter, didn't stop anybody else, won't stop me. Whatever you want to do, you have got to be. You're not going to be diligent unless you believe you can do it. You're not going to be diligent. I believe I can pastor a church with 5,000 people. I believe what God said is true. I believe West Palm Beach is a place to do it. I believe the people we have here are awesome people that are going to help get the vision done. I believe we're going to draw more people in. I believe it. If I had to do it by myself, I still believe it. If I had to get a different set of people, I still believe it. Why? Because nothing's going to stop us from getting it done because we're diligent to get it done. When we were in a hotel and the Mormons bought the hotel and they put us out, good time to go back to Detroit. I still could have got back up there. Hung around a little bit. Pastor would put me on staff. I know it because he needed me. He'd have put me on staff. Could have gone back to Oklahoma. Got back on staff with Raymond. They liked me there. I had a lot of options, but that wouldn't be diligent to what God told me to come here and start a church of 5,000 plus. You can't quit because you get a setback. It's inconvenient. Doesn't feel good. That's why we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith. Because in life, you're going to run into things that don't feel good. And if you move by feelings, you can't be diligent because you'll feel like quitting and you'll quit. You'll feel like meditating the negative. You meditate and you'll quit. You'll do exactly what you feel like. I counsel people sometime, and boy, I swear they feel like getting divorced. They really do. They feel like it. And they talk about it. And they think about it. And they meditate it. Do all the right things for the wrong reason. Do everything you're supposed to do. Meditate your vision. Talk about your vision. They don't realize their vision is to get divorced. And then when they get divorced, I can't take it no more. I talk to somebody on the phone. And the girl told me, she said, she was talking to Pastor Cook. She was a visitor Sunday, and she called me and she said, my husband and I divorced and we're doing all this and we're working on that. And I said, well, look, you know what? I'd like to get you and your husband in and talk. No, I don't want to get him in. I just want to not feel guilty about getting divorced. I said, well, you know, do you think that's the thing to do? Well, you said some things may seem like I shouldn't do that. And I said, well, you know, don't be blaming me for what the Bible says. Don't be trying to put that on me. You got to talk to God about that. I said, now, if you feeling bad about getting divorced, you probably shouldn't get divorced. You know, if you can't feel good about it, it's not a right thing. If you think it's something wrong, I can't excuse you. But people do that all the time. They want you to excuse them. I can't excuse somebody for that. It's like if somebody's not going to tithe, they won't explain to me why they can't tithe. I said, you don't explain to me. It's not my money you're robbing. You talk to God. God, I can't tithe. You do understand, don't you? Well, see what he says. I don't know. I can't give you permission not to. I just have to say, well, you know what the word says is all I can say. I'm not going to get on your case about it. It's between you and God. But I can't say, okay, this week God will let you off. I can't say that. I can't get into that. It's between you and your Lord. But see, she wanted to quit. And I told her, I said, well, why don't you, you know, bring him in. Let us work this thing out. Why don't you? I ain't going to talk to him. I don't want to talk to him at all. I just want the kids. And he wanted the kids. I said, so you already thrown it, this thing over with, you gone. And I said, what are you calling me for? You don't need a minister, you need a lawyer. Because you ain't listening to me. You don't want to hear what God have to say. You telling me, I don't even know. Well, I went to counseling in another church. Churches are different. Pastors are different. If you're asking me for advice, I want to talk to both of you. Because I don't know what's going on. I know not to believe one of them. Every man's way seems right in his own eyes. The person who killed their husband said he deserved it. And then you ask the wife, and then the other one say they deserved it. So I want to hear both of them. But she didn't want no counseling. She didn't want me to tell her, it's okay, divorce him, go thy way and be thou freed. I said, I don't know what's going on. I said, you need a lawyer. If all you're doing is fighting over kids, you need a lawyer, not a pastor. You're way past the pastor because you ain't listening. You don't want to try and fix it. No, I don't want to get back. No, I don't want to get back. I don't want to get back. I said, well, what are you talking to me for? I couldn't understand. I literally told her, what are you talking to me for? You're talking about legal issue. God doesn't say nothing about you divvying up the kids after a divorce. I don't know nothing about that. That's between you, the kids, and your husband. And she felt a little put off. She wasn't upset, but she felt a little put off. But what am I supposed to do about that? If you're not trying to work with the marriage, rather one way or another, or see, can I divorce him? Do I have biblical grounds? You already decided I'm divorcing him. Then I don't know nothing about no child custody cases. I don't have nothing to do with that. Don't have no scripture on it. You know what I mean? You need a lawyer, not a pastor. You understand that, don't you? If I said that to you, you'd be all right with it, wouldn't you? Because that's the only wisdom I can give you. You already made your mind up not paying attention to anything else. You need a lawyer. Because that's the only thing that's left if all it is the kids.
Today's message has been part two of the series entitled Diligent Person.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best